Hello. I said a variation of my usual intro, but stuff still happened. So what's up? It's the Mamdani meltdown. Politicians, both Democrat and Republican, are losing their shit over the New York City Democratic primary. Zohran Mamdani, he won in like a blowout election in the New York City primary against Cuomo, the disgraced former governor of New York. It's truly baffling that the man ran at all, but Zohran kicked his ass so hard that despite projections showing that the voting would have to be tallied for a while because of the ranked choice voting system, Zohran won on the first round. Like, enough of a blowout that Dem strategists were guffawed. I think guffaw is the only applicable term there. So Mamdani is a brown man who also calls himself a democratic socialist and is Muslim. So U.S. politicians aren't happy. And to be clear, I'm including Democrats. Like, Democrats are really showing their hand right now and proving that bigotry belongs to no party. It's definitely more rampant in Republicans, and we'll get to that. But let's start with the Democrats. So Democrats are mostly leaning in on one claim that Mamdani endorsed the phrase globalize the intifada, which is not a thing he ever did. The phrase is interpreted as a threat towards Jews, and it's all bad faith. He didn't endorse that. In fact, he's made his position very, very clear that he would protect and support Jewish communities, and has shown that he will support Jewish people in his actions already. Like, there's really not a question about his support for Jews. It's just he's not a big fan of Israel. And so they are going into hyper, super, ultra overdrive doing that whole thing where they just say that Israel and Jews are one and the same, which is so deeply offensive. And so Kirsten Gillibrand was on a radio show where she was taking calls, and a caller called in with a question saying, hey, what about all the awful things Mamdani has said about Jews? And the host of this radio show even tried to give her a layup, saying, well, you know, some of the things the caller said may not be true. I can't fact check in real time. But she ignored that and was like, yeah, you know, he's going to have to really work on that. And that's something I'm going to work with him on. And, you know, we're going to work together on making sure that Jews are supported. And I'm going to talk with him about that. And it's like, what? You're just sitting there asserting that you're the reason that he would help Jews? What? Despite rambling for quite some time and making her point very, very, very clear, she has said that she misspoke and is trying to walk it back. Eric Swalwell is doing the same thing. He owes an apology to Jews, kind of, also needs to explain himself, despite not saying what Mamdani said, which is nothing. To my knowledge, Chuck Schumer hasn't said a specific dumb thing, but also is refusing to just outright support Mamdani. And Hakeem Jeffries, the head of Democrats in the House of Representatives, also basically did the same thing as Swalwell, just being like, well, you know, he's gonna have to clarify his points and be very clear moving forward, because we don't know. So that was the Democrats' side. Brace yourself. In this corner, we have the Republicans being overtly racist. What a novel concept. Senator Andy Ogles came out swinging, calling Mamdani, quote, Zohran Little Muhammad Mamdani. He then referred to him as anti-Semitic, socialist, and communist, and then called for his denaturalization and deportation. Nancy Mace heard there was a bigotry party going on, and she wanted in on that action. So she tweeted, associating Mamdani with 9/11. Donald Trump Jr. asserted that New York City has fallen. Bro. And Trump himself referred to Mamdani as a, quote, 100% communist lunatic. Because words just don't mean anything anymore. I want to remind you that all of these reactions are to a candidate who was overwhelmingly supported. Like, they're just ignoring the fact that the city voted for this and wants this, and they're losing their shit acting as if it's the end of days. When in reality, it's a city trying a new policy for their mayoral candidate. The dude's most radical proposals are free public transit and city-owned grocery. Like, both of those already exist in the US. But instead of focusing on the catastrophic tax bill that's about to pass through the Senate, they're just ripping on a guy for a thing he didn't say. But speaking of that tax bill, numbers. I'll make it quick. I'll make it fun. So recap, Republicans are trying to pass a bill called the Big Beautiful Bill. It's Trump's tax and economic plan. I say plan, it's more just Trump wants it to be passed so he can sign it on 4th of July and say he did that. He has kind of shown that he doesn't actually give a shit what's in it and just wants it to get to his desk, because he recently tweeted out saying, hey, don't go too crazy, Republicans. Remember, you got to get reelected. What the fuck does that mean? He's saying, I know you're doing bad shit, but don't do too much bad shit. What?
I'm gonna crash out.
Anyway, I previously covered the House version of the bill. I'm gonna give some overview of what the Senate version changes and what we can expect if this gets passed. Regarding taxes, it does the same thing as the House bill in making Trump's originally temporary tax cuts from his first term. It would make those permanent. So back in Trump's first term, they made temporary tax breaks to try to reduce the overall cost of the package and make it more palatable. This time around, they're trying to make those temporary changes permanent. And they're also trying to claim that because those temporary changes are being made permanent, they're not actually changing policy. And so we shouldn't consider the financial impact of the opportunity cost of what the taxes would have been if they were not permanent. Put simply, Republicans are trying to confuse the math around accounting. And that's not how math works. No tax on tips is in there, but it is also temporary and there's a maximum income level before it stops counting. It offers a larger standard deduction to seniors who make under $75,000 a year because young people don't need money, famously. It actually increases the maximum of the child tax credit to $2,500 for a child, except it also scales that down. So the poorer you are, the less you get, all the way down to nothing. So a child tax credit for a poor family would be nothing, but for a rich family would be more. There's a proposal to increase the SALT cap to $40,000 from $10,000 for most states. The SALT cap is essentially the limit of how much of your state and local taxes you can deduct from your federal taxes if you itemize your taxes. There was a proposal to increase it to $40,000, but the Senate is looking to try to cut that entirely and bring it back down to $10,000. This is a bargaining chip for states that have higher taxes. To pay for not even half of these tax cuts, they want to slash $1.5 trillion from the budget, which was otherwise earmarked for Medicare, nutritional assistance, and climate initiatives. It is estimated that the Senate version of this bill would kick even more people off of Medicare than the House version would, closer to 12 million people in total. It's also projected to kick about 3 million people off of SNAP slash food stamps, you know, nutritional assistance. It also increases ICE's budget by a staggering amount. And I want to be with in no uncertain terms here. We are currently, right now, living in a United States of America that has concentration camps. These ICE detention centers are concentration camps. People are dying in them due to inhumane conditions. This isn't even the first time the US has done this. Our hands are not free of sin. With that understanding that we are currently doing concentration camps, ICE is getting an additional $350 billion to fund that. This bill would push for 10,000 new ICE agents, each of which would get a $10,000 signing bonus. It has funds for 100,000, quote, detention center beds, which should be read as funding for concentration camps. It establishes a $12 billion grant to provide money to states that help ICE out, and it provides a separate $3.5 billion grant to the U.S. Attorney General for basically the same thing, but they just wanted to put a line item in there that has a backronym that shortens to Biden, to have like a fund that is for deportation efforts called Biden, just because their brains are broken. Overall, it is expected that this is going to add over $4 trillion to the deficit. So literally never let them tell you that they're trying to reduce spending. All right, moving on. That was a lot. We're gonna go faster. I had every intention of making this a more streamlined, less intensive, less wordy issue. That didn't happen. So we're gonna move forward. Fuck. More policy. I'm sorry. The Supreme Court has ruled that judges ain't shit. So there was a court case that went to the Supreme Court of the United States about Trump's attempts to undo birthright citizenship, which is wild because that's just like as constitutional right as you can get. But this went to the Supreme Court, and ultimately the thing that was being argued was whether or not a lower level court can file a nationwide injunction to stop executive actions. There's about 24 of these nationwide injunctions right now from various judges who have been trying to stop the Trump administration from unilaterally just signing an executive order and infringing on people's rights. When the president signs one of those orders that's not okay, the judge says no, and they can't do it until it's resolved in the courts. But not anymore. Now they can do it. Fuck you. The Supreme Court basically ruled they can't stop the president from just doing the shit he wants to do. And the only way that they can stop the president now is if they file a class action lawsuit against the federal government. And in that case, the people who are in the class can be protected. So if the government is infringing on your rights, you have to either be in an individual lawsuit with the government or part of a class action against the government to actually not have your rights infringed, and only while it's going through the courts. But that means that unless your attorney general is on board with protecting your rights from the Trump administration, they're not going to do anything. And so this creates a patchwork legal system. We essentially just have 50 different countries now, because you can go across the border and whether or not your child has birthright citizenship could be in question. And so to that end, the SCOTUS did sort of like leave some wiggle room about like not fucking with birthright citizenship, but this can affect everything. Any policy that Trump wants to put out, there's going to have to be a lawsuit pushing back on it, specifically covering you. It's going to cost a ton of money, and the point is to overload the system so that nobody can actually stop them. Now, were there a lot of nationwide injunctions recently and a massive spike? Yeah, there was absolutely an anomalous spike in nationwide injunctions in recent years, starting with Obama. So I would point your attention to one Mitch McConnell, who famously weaponized the courts against the presidency. And now that they don't like that it's happening against Trump, as he's trying to just trample on people's rights, they got rid of it. Thanks, Mitch. Your entire political career has been spent screwing over the next generation. Rotten hell. Regarding the Iran bombings, we bombed Iran. There was a war between Israel and Iran. Well, Israel was bombing Iran. Long story short, that's simmered down for now. We don't know what the actual impact of the strike was. U.S. intelligence is reporting both a unilateral success and questionable success. International aid groups say that the uranium that was enriched in Iran is likely fine, likely got moved somewhere else. So we have no idea what actually was accomplished, if anything. But after there was a ceasefire put into effect, Israel decided to up their attacks against Iran in the final hours before the ceasefire actually went into effect, just to do as much damage as they could. And then they just kind of ignored the ceasefire for a while. Iran also struck back, and so Trump got big mad and now famously went on TV and said the F-bomb, which is to say Farquad. He went on TV and said Israel and Iran have no idea what the fuck they're doing, and it was the most relatable he's ever been. The U.S. is planning to restart talks with Iran about their nuclear program, the talks that Trump killed in his first term. It doesn't look likely that Iran's going to be willing to play ball. They are not going to accept the U.S.'s terms about having basically no enriched uranium. Regarding ICE bullshit, there's three quick things I'm going to touch on. The first is Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the man who was quote-unquote mistakenly deported by the U.S. government to El Salvador to a death camp. He's back on U.S. soil because the U.S. government is trying to charge him with a crime to undo their mistake. That's not how that works, but while he's now on U.S. soil, he has petitioned to go at least to his home district to be where his wife and kid is. That has been denied, and a spokesperson for the Justice Department said that Kilmar will, quote, never go free on American soil. This man has not been found guilty of anything. Meanwhile, ICE is still abducting people off of the street. One notable story of thousands is an Iranian woman who's been living here for 47 years. Was abducted by ICE while she was out front of her home gardening. She had tried to apply for a visa, it was denied, but she was issued a stay of removal, and she had met the requirements to not be removed consistently. For nearly 50 years, she tried for citizenship and was denied. They didn't let her because of technicalities. And people are just like, what the hell happened to my nice neighbor who was just a part of my community? She was gardening. And then finally, there's the J.D. Vance meme situation. So a 21-year-old Norwegian guy named Mads Mikkelsen, not the actor, was coming to the United States of America. Freedom. As he got to our Freedom Center, the border control, they asked for access to his phone, which is fucked. And on his phone, they found a widely shared meme of J.D. Vance. And that pissed off the officer for some reason. They took the guy into an interrogation room, interrogated him, put him into a holding cell for hours with no food or water. They forced him to give a blood sample and fingerprints and then deported him to Oslo. I shit you not, the U.S. maintains that it wasn't the J.D. Vance meme that got him deported, but was instead the fact that he said that he had previously used cannabis in a country where cannabis was legal. The U.S. technically can deny you for drug use, and they did that. Who knows what this man could have been capable of? He smoked the ganja in the past? You're telling me weed makes you time travel? Obviously dangerous. Get him out of here. World stuff, this is a brutal episode. I'm so sorry. I promise there's cool stuff at the end. There have been many reports of people in Gaza being mowed down at aid distribution sites. There's an organization that is backed by the U.S. and Israel that's supposed to be distributing aid to people in Gaza. But instead, when people in Gaza have been going to these sites, there have just been bullets sprayed into the crowd. Hundreds have been killed, and the international charity Save the Children has said that the vast majority have been children. Killing children at aid distribution sites. I wonder why people aren't thrilled with Israel right now. But I also want to be very, very clear that it's IDF and U.S., quote, defense contractors, private military forces from the U.S. But we're not involved. In Japan, the character limit has been reached. In 2017, there was a guy known as the Twitter Killer. He was a serial killer in Japan who lured women to his house and murdered them. He used Twitter to find women who were depressed or conveying suicidal ideation, and he said that he wanted to offer help, that help being killing them. Now, when he was arrested, his attorneys tried to argue on his side that he had permission to kill them. It was murder with consent. He took issue with this and clarified that he did not have consent to kill them. Don't put that evil on me. I didn't get consent. He's dead now. They killed him. Capital punishment. In China, the women be horny. Can't believe I get to talk about. So, okay, boys love. Boys love is a genre of fiction that is mostly written by women for women and stars male protagonists in a homoerotic relationship. This has been surging in popularity among women in China, and the Chinese government is not particularly happy about it, labeling it obscene. And so multiple authors of boys' love content in China have had visits from authorities that either interrogate them or actually charge them with obscenity. It's apparently sparked a bit more of a debate about the role of the government in policing morality, but largely it's just fucking whack that I'm talking about boys' love novelists in the context of global politics. Because there's like legitimate overseas havens for hosting boys' love content so that people in China can read it. Shit damn. I'm telling you, these women be horny. Cool stuff. Let's do cool stuff. Just cool stuff from here on out. Maybe. I didn't look ahead, actually. Exoplanets. The James Webb Space Peeper has done another amazing feat and took a photo of an exoplanet for the first time. Context. Exoplanets are hard to see because they're really far away and you have to squint. They're usually by a star, and if you look at a star, it's bright and kind of overshines everything else around it. Kind of like my head. But given how powerful the Jimmy Wimmy telescope is, they were able to actually filter out the light from the sun and get an image of like a Jupiter-ish planet. So that's cool. If you've ever seen a photo of an exoplanet before, you haven't. That's an illustration. It's a mock-up. We don't have that technology. Meteors over Atlanta. Free band name for anyone who wants that. Yeah, there was a massive fireball spotted in the sky over Georgia, seen here as a part of 7-Eleven's increased marketing budget, apparently. But for real, a meteor fell out of the sky and rammed through someone's roof all the way through their floor into the concrete of their home, which thankfully nobody was harmed, but holy shit, new fear. People were scrambling to figure out what exactly that was. Of course, there was just a fireball in the sky caught on some dash cams, and a bunch of weather radars were like, is that lightning? There's no storm happening. But we eventually figured it out. God hates us. Hey, let's talk about ad block for your face. A Belgian software developer has used artificial intelligence and augmented reality glasses to make a prototype of real-world physical ad block. It streams video from the glasses to an AI that tries to detect what is and is not an ad, and if it sees an ad, it projects just like a red box over it and says, like, this was an ad. This is a prototype. This is not anywhere near an actual product. I do want to note that it uses Google's AI to do the computation, which is hysterical because Google is literally an advertising company, but also dystopian as fuck. Neat, though. Lightning round. Facebook and Meta are testing a system that will feed your phone's images up into their AI, even if you haven't uploaded them to the app. They're saying this is a test, and they're saying that it is not currently being used to train their AIs. Currently. They're bringing back the Spider-Man trilogy. There's an extended cut of the Spider-Man trilogy coming to theaters, like the original. Edward Korestein, the guy who called himself Big Balls, who worked at Doge, has resigned. America lost a great asset today. That's not true. Speaking of dumb resignations, the president of the University of Virginia resigned under pressure from the Trump administration because he's a big weenie. Protect your wallets. Steam summer sale is going on right now. Send help. After the key bridge in Baltimore got mostly destroyed last year, they are finally demolishing the rest of it. And finally for today, it was looking like Texas was going to have a complete ban on all THC products, but Governor Abbott actually managed to veto it. This is very dangerous because now someone might have THC in Texas and thus become a national security threat, and we must deport them all to Oslo. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and that good old-fashioned Texas THC. My name is Endeavorance. Thank you so much for being here. Take care and be well.